Okay, welcome back. Let's talk to Gaurav Sharma, an independent oil analyst, Sharecast Digital. Look, very good morning to you, Gaurav.
Morning.
Now, you said that it would be nice to come here the first week of June because OPEC meet this week, don't they?
Friday it is.
I see that supplies are at two-year highs. Well, that's the prediction. In terms of imbalance, I've read a fantastic article in the FT recently saying that oil wasn't being driven by basically fundamentals, supply, demand. This was all about people hedging their bond positions, traders basically taking a position versus the dollar and so on. So they were using oil as a contract to play other markets.
Fair enough. I do accept the dollar angle, but it is very, very much reflecting the fundamentals of the market at the moment. So that part of the FT columnist's argument, I totally discount. Because, for the last 6 months that we've been sitting here and we've been talking about, oh, there'll be this supply side pressure or that supply side pressure, we've broadly held between 1.1 and 1.3 million barrels per day of excess supply. That has not materially altered.
Right.
That is a lot of oil coming out of the markets every day. And as I've sort of opined here before on, you know, previous comments here, is that unless that comes down somewhere in the region of about 600 to 800,000 barrels per day, comes down from 1.3 million to 1.1 million, we won't see much of a movement, you know, because each time oil tries to sort of break through from its current sort of support resistance levels, something or the other always happens. Now, last week is a case in point. We had a couple of terror strikes. Now, I would say that was a significant geopolitical development because we're quite close to the Saudi oil terminal. It was also quite close to Aramco's headquarters. But we had a couple of, roughly around about $2 of a spike for the odd session or two. And today, you know, we're back where we were because, again, the traders imminent sort of, as a general rule, switch back to where the supplies are at the moment, and nothing seems to matter. We're still sort of stuck, both benchmarks, if you could have a look at the chart, are broadly stuck where they have been for a fair amount of time. So, and again, if you recollect, when we were here in April, we were talking about, will Iran make a difference? Will it flood the market?
No, you said
and I said,
years.
No, it won't be.
Yep.
People were contemplating oil would come down to 40, and I say it's going to take a lot of time, at least until 2016, for even a decent amount of Iranian crude to come on the market. Last week, 26th, we had all these reports flooding around the market saying Iraq is going to flood the market now with an additional 800,000 barrels. Come on, that's just not going to happen. The country is struggling to meet its set target of 3.1 million barrels per day, to export 3.1 million barrels per day. Suddenly, we think by the end of June, they will up that to 3.8. I don't think that's happening. So it's just kind of everybody, whether you know it's short sellers or those hoping for that great promise of a long call delivery, are clutching on straws because there's just so much oil out there. So if you could switch on to the next chart, which is very, very telling. Well, here's where OPEC is. And you know, when we were conversing last year, we were coming off a cliff.
Yep.
It literally is a cliff. We came off that, and now, as we see, you know, we see stability at a lower level. Now, out of the 12 OPEC members, 8 of them, according to my sort of calculations, 8 of them can cope with this sort of a price. Iran can't, Venezuela can't, there's a few more African exporters, but some around about 8 of them can cope rather well. So if we are hoping for some kind of a movement on Friday,
so it's 8 can. So the vast majority can
yes,
go with oil at these
They can
levels.
Manage with about 60, with Brent being around about $60,
okay,
they can manage. Saudi production is profitable even at $12 a barrel. They have the lowest labor costs. They have quite a bit of supplies. They have the infrastructure in place. So the Saudis can still make a buck or two. They'd like it to be higher, but they can still keep their production profitable around about $12. So 8 of them would be sort of, well, not happy, but they can manage with about a $60 Brent price. And this is where it's slowly creeping up to. And this is where we'll probably be. We won't see a shoot up to 75. It'll be a gradual crawl if we kind of get there by Christmas. But having said that, so the power brokers are reasonably content. So no matter how much screaming Venezuela or Iran do in Vienna, a cut is just not going to happen. Also, let's hypothetically, and we can never discount the element of surprise, but let's hypothetically assume that OPEC cuts. What we'll see is what we saw last week, a couple of dead cat bounces. We'll see a few sessions where it'll creep up a few dollars or two, and then again, the supply side will get entrenched. OPEC's production, these are the points in history where OPEC has sort of cut. And you can see there's some pretty major periods of subsequent cuts. And we're looking at the Asian crisis, we're looking at the global downturn, 9/11 attacks, and of course the financial crisis.
Yeah.
Nothing at the moment is on that scale. What we are seeing at the moment is purely because there's excess supply. Demand is sort of tepid because India is growing. India is growing quite well.
Yep.
But the other four, as I've often said here, South Korea, the US. US is importing less oil for its own, cuts its own domestic production. But if you take South Korea, we look at Japan, we look at China, they're not buying as much as they used to. So what we're seeing here is excess supply, and that's why the price is where it is.
What's the current situation in Russia, do you think? Because obviously they were talking the price all the way down to 15 and they were going to be comfortable, but their current recessionary status, what with the sanctions, maybe doesn't support that.
There's some ancillary factors at play there. I would say that the Russian scenario is slightly unique. Mm. They can cope with $50 because what they do is, as their internal taxation for oil and gas extraction is linked to where the oil price is. So as soon as it starts creeping down, they start taxing their own domestic producers, their own companies, the likes of Lukoil and Rosneft. Their tax exposure reduces proportionally. So that's how they are coping. But there are ancillary factors at play. The currency is as we all know, is in a bit of a doldrums. So their situation is slightly different from OPEC, being a non-OPEC producer as Russia is. The only issue here is where from here. For the last two quarters, myself including, several commentators have said that Russian production will come down. But you know, this is becoming into a war of attrition. Russian production has not come down. I have been surprised. I thought it'll come down. Instead of coming down, it's kind of matching the levels that we had at the collapse of the Soviet Union. So it's that they're all entrenched in their positions, and there'll be a fair bit of discord at the table at OPEC on Friday, but I don't see much movement because nothing significant has happened, and even if they cut, they will not really get much more mileage out of it. Maybe a couple.
So, in summary, what are you saying to the Tip TV crowd that this smooth, basically, tick upwards, if that's the right word, is set to continue? There's no, you know, massive supply, no massive demand issues at place. You know, this is a quiet market, and we like quiet markets going into the summer.
It is a fairly quiet market. Supply side correction will come, but as I've said time and again on this broadcast, is that it will take time. It will not happen in a snap.
Yep.
It will start to bite. I mean, we're talking about, there will be a point in time where the Russians will have to relent because some of their difficult to extract fields, they don't have the technology. They needed technological cooperation, and all of that has come to a halt, whether it's ExxonMobil cooperating with them or whether it's Shell or BP. It's because of sanctions, it's all getting hurt. Slowly and slowly, we will see the supply side correction creep in, but it will not satisfy the instant cravings that some people are sort of expressing. Oh, we'll see a supply correction. Yes, we will. It won't happen immediately. So what we're seeing right now is, I reiterate again that we're with sort of both benchmarks are stuck between $50 and $75. As far as the spread bettors go, they have to make a daily call because last week, it might be a development that is unmerited for the long term. But there might be the odd development whereby like we had the Saudi terror strike and Brent spiked by a couple of dollars. So you have to make a daily call based on what you're watching around. But the longer term trend, we'll see a slow creep upwards. But it'll be, like I said, it'll be at a turtle space.
Okay, Gaurav Sharma, independent oil analyst. Thank you very much. See you in 2 weeks' time. Let's see if OPEC are listening to what you've got to say this morning. Let's take a very quick break. Then we're going to come back for a quick pre-recall. Tony Cross, market analyst at Trustnet Direct, talking about the Sun share competition. Then we'll be back and we're going to talk to Mr. Craig Drake about Greece. Then we've got a Clem Chambers pre-recall talking about the major markets. Then we're going to wrap up today with Ben Harrington talking about weekend press and M&A. Straight back after the break. Thank you.